You scream, I scream, we all scream for ice cream. Yet somehow ice cream has become this villainized, evil food, which only makes us want it more. And as an intuitive eating counselor and coach, I will never tell you what to eat or what not to eat, but I am going to tell you when to not eat ice cream in this episode. And it's probably not what you think. So tune in to find out. Welcome to the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I am Tammy, your fun-loving and often quirky host. I have been a dietitian for close to 20 years where I've helped countless women transform not only their relationship with food, but more importantly, themselves. I believe to my core that as you start peeling back the layers to loving your food and yourself, you end up loving your life like never before. And now is the time, my friend. It is time to break up with diet culture, shift your current stories, rev up your internal wisdom, and recognize that every body, regardless of size, not only deserves dignity and respect, but can be healthy because your habits and how you love on yourself is truly what matters. In this podcast, we have real conversations about struggles, insecurities, and false beliefs with loving ourselves and each other through the lens of curiosity, anti-judgment, intuitive eating, spirituality, journaling, and a heaping dose of laughter, maybe some tears, but always a whole lot of realness. Welcome, friends. I'm so excited to be back today with my good friend, Beth. Hey, Beth, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome, Tammy. So happy to be here with you.
Yay. Yes, likewise, likewise. And today's episode is going to be a very sweet treat. And that is because we're going to be talking all about ice cream today. So yay, everybody start clapping, right? Even if you're listening, like take a minute, clap, jump up and down. We're going to be talking all about ice cream. So Beth and I will be sharing some of our favorite and maybe not so favorite pastimes with ice cream, what our favorite ice cream flavors are. And through this, we will be answering the question of when to not eat ice cream. So I know this is probably surprising because as intuitive eating counselors and coaches, we've opened up the floodgates for you, telling you that ice cream is always allowed and always on the table. But I promise you that we are going to answer this question. So very excited to talk about this. And we decided to talk about ice cream today because, number one, I just love ice cream. I don't know. How about you, Beth? Do you love ice cream?
It is a staple in our home. So I will answer that with a strong yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like if somebody doesn't love ice cream, I don't know if they can be in my circle. I'm just saying, like, that's truly.
Thank God I can be in your circle.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, on a little bit more serious note is that sadly ice cream and many other foods, right? Not just ice cream. They've really had a bad rap put on them because of the scary, scary sugar, right? That's in ice cream. And I can't help but to notice now when I go to the grocery store, every single time I walk down the grocery store aisle, the ice cream aisle specifically, I feel like there's a new ice cream out that is basically trying to say it's healthy ice cream or it's this and it, you know, it's low sugar, it's high protein, or it's not this or it's not that. Or, I mean, there's just all these variations. It's kind of nuts. I used to try some of those ice creams like just for kicks, just curiosity to be like, I wonder what this is like. And honestly, after doing that a few times, Beth, I can't even try those knockoff ice creams anymore. They just are awful. They're just not worth it.
I'm with you 1,000%. Occasionally, my husband does our grocery shopping in our home and he will buy one of those. Mm. And I try it because it's there, right? Like, why not? And I'm always deeply disappointed. And I'm like, where is the real ice cream?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm with you. That wasn't always the case. I used to be like, totally all about those like unique and quote unquote healthy versions of ice cream. So anyway, this is going to be such a fun convo.
Yeah. Well, Beth, I'd love to hear, why are you excited to talk about ice cream today? I kind of shared a little bit about why I like it. I mean, I love ice cream, and I think ice cream and these other foods have had kind of a bad rap, and I want to really kind of talk through this a little bit, but why are you excited to talk about ice cream today?
I can just second that I love ice cream very much. And there hasn't been a day for a long time that we don't have some form of ice cream in our home. Recently, it's been ice cream sandwiches. But we've had, you know, I love like a good Haagen-Dazs or Ben and Jerry's tub. I mean, ice cream is so good. It's one of my favorite treats, like hands down, no question. And I think this conversation is going to be fun is because like so many of the people I've worked with and I know you've worked with, there was a period of time where if ice cream crossed my threshold in my home, I was a very bad girl, you know, and there was a lot of guilt and shame around the consumption of ice cream. Therefore, the desire to eat all these like healthy versions of ice cream on this like conquest to discover, ooh, is there an ice cream that tastes delicious and I don't have to feel guilty about, right? Because that's what the marketers are trying to push is like, let's help people not feel guilty so they eat more of the product, right? And quite frankly, that's our goal is to erase the guilt and shame around food. And yeah, so I'm probably diving into too much right now, but I think this topic is so fun. And I think that my relationship with ice cream has vacillated dramatically. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved ice cream. Mm-hmm. And then I got into my teens and 20, early 20s, mid 20s, 30s even, and ice cream was no longer on the table. And now I'm like, bring back the ice cream, right? So we've had just this shift. And so that's kind of what comes to mind.
I'm curious, Beth, if you were to think back to, you know, when you were a kid, can you think of just even one specific experience around ice cream that you can really cognitively remember and maybe even, you know, feel it in your whole body? And just, I would love to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, this memory is not actually so great. And I think it really contributes to this conversation. I remember I was 7 or 8 years old and I would, on a regular basis, we'd get those big gallon tubs of ice cream. I think Blue Bunny or Kemp's or something. And I would eat like a couple scoops of ice cream at night. And my parents, you know, were fine with that, whatever. But I went into, remember very specifically walking into my parents' room and I had this bowl of ice cream and I like to sprinkle hot chocolate powder on top of my ice cream. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that? It's super good.
Yep. Totally done that. Oh my gosh. I want to go back and do it again.
I know. I did it with my daughter the other day. It was so fun, but I brought this in and I was like eating it. And my dad looked at me very innocently, like so innocently. He did not mean anything negative by it, but he said to me in so many words, he said, "Oh honey, you're getting a little belly. It must be all that ice cream you're eating." And I, you know, outside of this conversation, even I remember that moment was the moment that I recognized that I had this body that could shift and change as a result of my food consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, you know, it's not like a super positive memory because I remember just feeling like this question mark of, oh, is a belly a good thing or a bad thing? Like, am I not supposed to eat this ice cream? And starting to question, food has this contribution to my worth, to my body size, to all the things. And again, I will reiterate, my dad meant nothing by this. Mm-hmm. It was probably an innocent, sweet remark. He probably saw me as a little 7-year-old with a belly as a super cute, admirable thing, right? But it had this impression on me, which just goes to show how impressionable we are as we grow up, right? And we are immersed into this diet culture world. So, I mean, I'm curious, maybe you have a happier story, Tammy, but how about you? Like, do you have an ice cream story about being when you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, I can remember when I was a kid, my beginning of my upbringing, I lived more with my mom and I would more, you know, visit my dad. And I can remember when visiting with my dad, one of the things that we would do is we would have mint chocolate chip ice cream in a cup and we would pour a little bit of milk over it. And when you poured the little bit of milk over it, it would kind of make these almost these like little crystals on the outside of the ice cream. And so you get this like little bit of extra crunch when you're eating the ice cream. And this totally worked living in Colorado, which, by the way, I don't think living in Florida, this method would work. So depending upon where you're at in the world listening to this, not sure if you can get the same little crunch. But anyhow, it was a really pleasurable experience thinking back about it. And it was a time when we connected. You know, we didn't always have times of connection throughout other parts of the week or the day and what have you. And so sharing that ice cream, these were little special moments, basically.
I love that. That was way more positive than my story.
Well, the reality is I have stories about food that aren't so positive, right? So it just so happens these are each of our stories. And I think what's important to remember as we're going down memory lane and as our listeners are going down memory lane, likely of their experiences, is that we hold space for whatever experience is, right? Because even if it's a nostalgic, more positive experience, or if it's a little bit more negative experience, it does show that as we connect to these experiences with food, that it can really connect our like whole body. We can almost feel these experiences throughout our entire body. And I just want to kind of say that we're holding space for whatever type of experiences are coming up for the listeners. And just, we're there with you and we're holding that space and inviting you to just remember it and breathe through it and maybe come back into the present day, which is what we can talk about now. What do you think, Beth?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. So where does ice cream show up in your present life now, Beth? And how do you enjoy it? And what's your current favorite flavor, if you can name one? Just all the things. Just talk about ice cream.
That's the hardest ever. Well, I can say, you know, in opposition to that early childhood experience I had that, you know, may have been part of shaping my relationship with food early on. My relationship with ice cream is very neutral at this time. I mean, like I said, we keep ice cream in our house pretty much all the time. It's one form or another. We found these like amazing decadent, like chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwiches that we've been buying on repeat. But I will tell you, I'm starting to get tired of them. I'm ready for something different. So my favorite kind of vacillates. I've always been a cookies and cream fan. I've always loved mint chocolate chip. Occasionally I'll be a cookie dough girl. So it really just depends on the day and kind of what I'm feeling, but those are probably some of my top favorites.
I feel like I know so much about you just by talking about ice cream. These are very specific things. I don't know if you've ever really talked about. What's your favorite ice cream?
I don't know. And can you tell more about me just based on my flavor I choose? You know, we could have a whole conversation on you are what you eat and the flavor of ice cream defines your personality, right? So, I mean, right now, like we love ice cream in the house. It's fun. It's something we eat usually like after a meal or in between as kind of a summer treat. You know, we tend to eat more in the summer than the winter just because of the temperature and quality of ice cream. But yeah, I mean, it's a really neutral experience I have. I mean, sometimes I want it, sometimes I don't. I'll even say like last night, I saw the ice cream cookie sandwich in my freezer when I went down to do something else and the kids were asleep. And I saw this just like one ice cream sandwich. And this is where I like was really interested in my response. I looked at it. I was like, I don't want it. Like I wanted it, but I didn't want it. Does that make sense, Tammy? Like there was this part of me, the last one I quote unquote should eat it because it's the last one. I want my husband to get it. Right. And then there's another part of me that was like, meh, I don't really want it. I'm pretty full. Moving on. So I'm pretty sure it's still in the freezer. So anyway, it's kind of a sign of that neutrality. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, definitely ice cream is a part of our world. And I would say we too have ebbs and flows. There's times where ice cream is more interesting than not. And sometimes it relates to summer and sometimes it's more just, oh, everyone's around. And it might be going to the local ice cream shop and getting to pick out and see what flavors they have. And recently I made some homemade ice cream And my son actually said, "Mom, you really need to make ice cream more often." And I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Because it's so much better." And I said, "Well, I love that. And I do think if I were to make it more often, it probably wouldn't taste, quote unquote, better." And so we kind of had to have that little bit of conversation around part of why it does taste so much better is because we don't have it necessarily all of the time. I mean, it is a process to make homemade ice cream. And I actually did homemade cookie dough ice cream for him because that's one of his favorites. But I'm not a big cookie dough ice cream fan. That's not really my wheelhouse. I would say I vacillate between sometimes I like a raspberry chocolate chip or a cherry chip, or sometimes I just have to go with the classic Ben and Jerry's fish food. Like that's just the hands down. If I just need a really good classic ice cream and in the moment, like that's definitely the hands down one. But I really, really love most other flavors for the most part, except for cookie dough and cookies and cream.
That is so funny. We're like opposites yet again.
Yeah. But those flavors are my family's favorites. So definitely the boys of my house, that's their favorite for sure. But I oftentimes like to have my ice cream have a little bit of crunch. And sometimes I'm trying to decide, I'm like, do I want that kind of fruity element or do I want more of like a nutty element? Like that's kind of how my brain sometimes thinks about ice cream. So I don't know, but that's where it's at. And we have a lot of positive memories about it. And I know that when my kids were younger, we had times where we were trying to navigate the, well, how much do we let them have, you know, in the household because of the quote unquote sugar and da 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 da, because that was back before I knew what I knew today. And, you know, we definitely tried at one point in time to do like limits with our kiddos in terms of we're going to have two or three sweet nights, or, you know, we tried to not call them desserts. We tried to call them just sweet treats or sweet snacks, or I can't remember the language we used, but anyhow, we used to try to like limit it, and it created kind of these ravenous children towards ice cream of, oh, is tonight the night that we can have it? You know, and finally fast forward to probably 10 or so years ago, I don't know, we just kind of opened up the floodgates and said, just eat as much as you want, you know, go for it. And then all of a sudden it just really didn't have as much appeal, and they too vacillate. Sometimes they have more and sometimes they have less, and it's just kind of part of our freezer. And every once in a while I find a container of ice cream in the back that I go, whoops, totally forgot about that one. Have to throw that one out. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
I love that. Yeah. Sounds similar to how we kind of consume it in our home too.
Yeah. Well, now that we've kind of walked down memory lane with ice cream and really identified how, when we think about how ice cream has shown up in our life, it kind of can help us tell our stories, right? Just talking about one specific food, such as ice cream, it can help us tell our stories and our journeys of where we've been with food, with our bodies, all of the things. So really do invite everyone who's listening here to take that minute and say, what is my story? What's my journey with ice cream? And what does that look like? And where was it before to where is it now? And maybe where do I want my experience to be with ice cream? You know, if you're somebody who's listening and says, what, you have ice cream that goes bad in your freezer and you have to throw it away, and that seems like totally foreign to you, consider, is that something you might want to be able to do, is take it or leave it, right? The ice cream. Just consider these things for a minute. And after you're done considering it, I think let's dive in and talk about when to not eat ice cream. So here we are. We've been talking about how we love ice cream. It's a big part of our life, da 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 da. And we're intuitive eating counselors. And so we say, hey, you're allowed to have all the foods. All foods are open and accessible. We've made peace with ice cream. It's allowed. But we're going to give you some tips on when to not eat ice cream. Okay. So here you go. Beth, do you want to start off with the first one?
All right. So the first reason when you don't want to eat ice cream is when you want something warm to eat, right? So when we think about eating food, I don't know about you. I just mentioned like in the summer, we tend to consume more ice cream, in the winter, less. when we start to tap into the intuitive eater, you may discover that you like different temperature foods at different times of the year, different times of the day. And as we align with that intuitive eater, we start to notice, oh, like I want something warm. So maybe it's not ice cream, it's something else. There is this, I don't know, driver, I think, for a lot of humans that, you know, dessert comes after a meal. And when we step into our intuitive eater, we can actually say, hey, look, what is it that I want that would align with what I need in the moment? So if you're aligning with something more warm, but you have ice cream in your freezer, don't just eat the ice cream because it's there. Mm-hmm. Consider if there's something else that you could use to satisfy and bring full, complete pleasure to round out your meal that is a different temperature, and maybe not ice cold. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Tammy?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You can't really eat warm ice cream, right? Because that's going to be, that's not even going to be a milkshake. That's going to be, it's going to be something else. That's just, yeah, absolutely. That's a great one. That one doesn't work. And so another time when you would not want to eat ice cream is if for you, you have really extremely healthy bones, meaning your bones are so healthy, they need absolutely no calcium. Like your body needs no calcium coming into it because your bones are just so strong and so healthy. And or if you have a restriction towards, you know, truly actually needing to restrict your calcium intake due to a medical reason, and then you may want to be cautious with eating ice cream. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because so often, and I know especially when I was teaching students and working with women and such, the immediate thing that we think of when we think of ice cream is we think of sugar. But the reality is, when you look at the nutrition facts of ice cream, it is loaded with calcium. And I think we all know that calcium is great for our bones, right? So if you're someone who's like, I don't need any help with my bones, right? Then guess what? Don't eat ice cream. Or if you are someone who says, hey, you know what, because of a certain medical condition and may not bone related, okay, but if you have a medical condition where you do maybe need to be cautious with your calcium intake, then I'm not saying not to eat ice cream, but I'm saying to be cautious with the amount of ice cream that you're eating. Does that make sense, Beth?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I think you added just a little bit of humor to that one, because I don't think anybody can really say, oh, I have overly healthy bones and right. I cannot acquire any more calcium, right? So yeah, I love that. And I think that there's a lot of virtue to that as well. Like we look at the one thing that it's given a bad rap for, which is sugar and fat potentially, right? Saturated fat or fat. Right. And it's high in calories. Therefore, if you've, you know, been a dieter or done restrictive eating, like ice cream just does not fit into a low calorie option. So, you know, that's definitely true. And I think another reason to not eat ice cream, and this goes back to earlier in our conversation, is just when it tastes like poo, right? Like don't eat something that you don't like, that you don't love. I want to even reframe and say that you don't love. Mm-hmm. And this isn't even like diet or health ice cream, but my husband recently bought some like different brand of ice cream that looked really good on the label. And I took two bites of it. My daughter and I took it out the other night and I said, do you want to try some of this with me? And she said, absolutely. And we sat down and ate it. And it was like this caramel, like fudgy thing. And it had way too much caramel for my particular liking. And it was gross. Like it was way too sweet for my taste buds. There wasn't enough ice cream to caramel ratio. Like it just was not good for me. And I was like, no, I don't want to eat this. It does not bring me satisfaction or pleasure. It's just this like highly sweet thing that I feel is not going to make me feel good. So that's a really good time not to eat ice cream when it tastes like poo and or it's going to make you feel icky as a result of eating it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I can remember back when I was in college, goodness, this is going a long ways back here, but I had a professor. I'm so grateful to her because she's really kind of the very, very first person who ever introduced this concept of food relationship. And the fact that I was even minorly introduced to it in my undergrad is phenomenal, you know, that I actually was able to cross paths with this woman. But anyhow, I can remember her talking about how the dilemma of ice cream, and she was talking about how she would much rather have a half a cup of full fat, full-fledged ice cream, and then a whole cup of the sugar-free stuff. And she said, you know, go ahead and try it yourself and decide, you know. And anyways, I just, that's kind of what I'm hearing you say, right? Is it's like, go with what really, really aligns with you, you know, and if it tastes awful, don't keep forcing yourself to have it, you know, in the name of, well, I bought it, I better have it, or, oh gosh, it has quote unquote better ingredients, so I better just try to force myself to like it. It's like, no, you just don't need to go down that road anymore, my friend, at all.
Yeah, give it to a friend. If you like hate wasting food, you know, find a friend who would take it off your hands. Mm-hmm. If my husband doesn't eat that ice cream, I am assuming he will like it, but I will throw it away without even a second thought because it just does not bring me the pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I'm with your instructor. I would rather just be with a bowl of full-fledged, all the things ice cream than try to eat something that's like a mimic of the real thing. So yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another time, just a last little example, right, of when not to eat ice cream. And this might go without saying, but if you've had some ice cream that maybe you've enjoyed, but you get to a point where your body says, you know what? I'm actually really hungry for something different. I really actually want something savory now, that it's okay to make that switch. I know that some people, and I've been there myself at one point, thought, well, if I eat ice cream, it has to be like the last thing. I can't go and eat something else after that. I can't make a switch. Like, I just need to have this and be done with it because it's quote unquote the higher calories, high sugar. So I just need to stop and just, you know, wait until maybe the next day, or we can get into a whole bunch of stories about what we should or should not do, right? But it's perfectly acceptable to say, you know what, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to have some ice cream and then I'm going to eat dinner later, because having ice cream at 4 o'clock sounded okay. You don't have to wait until nighttime or after dinner. You don't have to eat your broccoli first to get dessert. You don't have to follow kind of those timing rules, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. And I would just add to that again, this is really about honoring the body. And when you eat the ice cream, the intention here is that you are listening to how the body responds, right? Because I know for me, this is my personal thing, and this could be different for everyone listening, but if I eat ice cream on its own in the middle of the day, I feel differently than when I eat ice cream paired with a meal. I mean, that's just me, right? That's my body and the way that it regulates the sugar content that is in ice cream, right? And again, it's not bad or wrong, but I tend to do better and feel my best when I eat ice cream in the context of a meal. So I've already had some other, you know, foods, potentially like some protein that kind of stabilizes my blood sugar. The ice cream doesn't really bother me or feel uncomfortable in my body. Now, if I eat it on its own independently, sometimes I'm okay, but I will admit sometimes I can feel my blood sugar kind of rise and I can get shaky and not feel great after eating it. So I would just add that a time that I wouldn't eat ice cream is in a time when I know that I don't have a lot of other stuff in my tummy, and that ice cream is going to make me feel not great if I eat it independently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you only got to that point by experimenting, I imagine.
Exactly. Yes. And I will add that that's the journey, right? Is to start to listen to the body, and that takes time. It doesn't always happen. And that's where we can really say, it's not about shaming myself. Like, I still to this day, sometimes I know that the ice cream's not going to make me feel great. Like, we go to Dairy Queen every now and then, and sometimes in the middle of the day, I haven't eaten anything else, and I'll have the thing because it sounds good and I won't feel great.
Mm-hmm.
It happens on occasion, but it's not, I don't have to make it mean anything. Oh, that happened. You know, will I do something different next time? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's not a right or wrong, but I do know the cues of my body after just experimenting, like you said. And that's the invitation, is to experiment and then put on your cap of curiosity and remove the shame and guilt associated with whatever outcome does happen with your body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I will add to that too, that we want to be curious to also add in the thought of how much ice cream are we having? Because that's the other thing that I think sometimes does happen with ice cream is maybe someone experiences ice cream and then they have X result that they didn't feel great in their body. And so they immediately say, oh, ice cream caused XYZ, but it maybe wasn't necessarily the ice cream. It was maybe what it was paired with or not paired with, or it was the amount or the lack of amount. It can be a lot of different variables. So what we're kind of saying is get curious and playful with it and really lead with listening to your body and lead with being satisfied from the experience and allow the fact that ice cream has an emotional memory attachment to it and that that's also okay. Like these types of foods and experiences are going to come with memories potentially, and that's part of any type of eating experience. So allow that and allow that to be a part of your eating experience.
I'm so glad you layered that last point in there because you're right. And some people don't understand why they say they have like an addiction to a food, and it's oftentimes layered in emotion and memory. And part of our process, you know, I know when you and I work with clients is it's identifying it, but it's finding tools to move forward so that we can have that more peaceful relationship with the food. If we want to, if we want to have a harmonious, peaceful relationship with ice cream, let's say, because we do enjoy it when we want it. Sometimes we have to just peel those extra layers and honor those emotions that come along with the journey.
All right. Thanks so much, Beth, for being here today.
Thanks for having me, girl. It's always my pleasure.
Thank you so much for taking precious time out of your day to connect here. You listened because there is some part of you that is interested in learning to love your food, love yourself, and love your life. But if you're like most women, you have already been down this road before, wishing, hoping, and wanting for something to finally actually work, but things don't change. That being said, if you're committed to creating long-term change, then whatever you do, consider joining our brand new Uplift community. It's a private and safe Facebook community where you're supported by peers and two professional dietitians and intuitive eating counselors. Again, thank you so much for being here. Much love.